and he goes into the garden. He wants to spend his last couple hours conversing with the Father. He knows what's coming. He knows the danger that's coming. He knows the trials that's going to come against him, physical and spiritual. I've always believed that Jesus, having the Spirit without measure, could see into both realms. You know, we read that account of Elisha when the Syrian army surrounds the city, and his servant just says, "What are we going to do?" And he just simply said, "Lord, open his eyes." And he saw all these angel fiery chariots surrounding the enemy. I don't think Elisha saw them. He just knew they were there. And he believed it enough. He said, "Lord, let him see." And I think Jesus could look into the spirit realm that way. And Jesus didn't just see a little handful of Jewish soldiers coming with swords and clubs. He saw these legions of demons. He saw the prince of the power of the air coming. And he said, "I got to pray, guys. I have to pray." And he takes the 11 with him because Judas has already left. He went to go get the people that were coming to get him. And he takes the 11, and it said he sets 9 of them down. And He sets 8 guys. He says, "You sit here." And he takes his 3 innermost circle. You know, Jesus didn't have favorites. Yes, he did. Peter, James, and John. There was something in those 3 men that Jesus saw something in, and they were his closest out of the 12. It didn't mean he didn't love the others. He didn't exclude the others because he didn't like them. It just Peter, James, and John, these were the future elders of the first church at Jerusalem. Jesus saw something in these men. He knew there was something there. And he takes them a little further into the garden, and he says, "Sit here and watch with me." He doesn't say, "Sit here and gossip. Sit here and bird watch. Sit here and swap stories." He doesn't just say, "Sit here idly. You guys just sit here while I go pray." He invites them to pray with him. The word "watch" that he uses, it means to be vigilant, to be awake. The root word means to wake up from sleep, to get up from sitting down, to get up from lying down, to get up from the dead, to rise from the dead, to get up from obscurity, to get up from, obscurity, get up from being ineffective. That's what it is. So Jesus says, "Guys, watch with me." It's the same word Peter used when he was talking to the elders in his epistle, and he said, "Be sober, be vigilant. For your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour." Same word, exact same word. So it means to be vigilant, to be awake, to be aware. And he goes about a stone's throw, the scripture says. I'm not sure how far that is. I can't throw rocks very far. When I was a kid, I could, but I can't now. But he goes a distance, and it says he falls on his face. How many of you know that when you're laying on your face praying, that's serious praying? You're not there just to say a little prayer. The agony that's hit him. He told his men, "I am so sorrowful, I feel like I'm going to die." The weight of our sin is on him. This man who never knew sin, all of a sudden had the weight and the guilt and the burden of sin laying on him, to the point he said, "I feel like I'm going to die." And he said to his 3 main guys, "Watch with me. I'm going over here to pray. You sit over here and pray." And it says he lays on the ground. He's wrestling in prayer. He's agonizing. Luke records that an angel came and strengthened him. And of course he's saying, "Father, let this pass from me. Only let your will be done." He said, if it's possible, in one of the Gospels, he says, "Everything's possible with you. Please, let this pass. But nevertheless, not what I want, what you want. Let that be done." That ought to be the cry of every one of us when we pray. We pray about our situation. "God, let your will be done." even though I don't understand what's going on, why this is happening, I know you mean it for my good. It says in all things he works together for the good of those whom he loves, who's called according to his purpose. I wish it said in all good things, but it doesn't say that. It just says in all things God works for our good. And Jesus understood that he had to go to the cross in order to save us. He's not praying not to go to the cross. I think he's praying, don't let me die before I go. I feel like I'm going to die. Don't let that happen unless that's your will. And this angel, according to Luke, appears and strengthens him. Jesus has prayed for about an hour. We know that from what happens next. It said he goes back to his church. This is his church. You know, these 11 guys are the beginning of his church. Here's three of the main elders of his church. He goes back to his church, and they're all wrapped up in their cloaks, just sawing logs. He's been over here pouring his heart out, pouring out his fears, pouring out his agony, asking the Father, give me the strength to face this that I'm facing. And here's his church that the last instructions he gave to them was watch. Guys, stay awake, stay alert, be vigilant, pray with me. I'm going over here to pray. You pray while I'm praying. And he goes over there and they're sawing logs. Now, what does that tell us? They didn't believe what was coming. Jesus warned them of the danger that was coming, the very real danger. He warned them that trials were coming. And you notice he picks Peter, he wakes them up, and he doesn't go, Peter, James, and John, because that's who it was. He said, Peter, couldn't you watch 1 hour? You ever tried to pray an hour? That's not easy. I've done it not paying attention to time, but I mean, just as sure as you say, I'm going to spend an hour in prayer today, you're going to find a lot of reasons that you can't spend an hour in prayer. It becomes a long time. And Jesus looks at Peter, the outspoken spokesman of the group, and says, couldn't you watch for 1 hour? And it said they didn't know how to answer him. What are they going to say? So he goes away the second time to pray. And what do? They go right back out. And it said the second time he came back, he didn't wake them up. I don't think he said, oh, don't they look so cute? They look so innocent when they're asleep. He probably thought, what's the point? They're not going to stay awake. They didn't know the danger that was coming. They didn't believe the Lord. And I'm not trying to be mean. They flat out didn't believe him. You remember what happened the first time he told them? The scriptures say Peter took him off the side and rebuked him. He said, that's not going to happen to you. I think what he meant, in my opinion, is he was saying, we wouldn't let that happen to you. Don't worry about that, Jesus. We're not going to let them do that to you. We're your boys. We got your back. They'll have to come through us first. That wasn't the plan they had for the Messiah. No. See, we're going to go to Jerusalem and they're going to crown you king and we're going to be on your cabinet. You're going to drive the Romans out and we're going to have the kingdom of David restored when Israel will be a great, powerful nation again. Jesus said, no, we're going to go to Israel. The elders and the chief priests and scribes are going to reject me. They're going to scourge me. They're going to hand me over to the Romans and nail me to a cross and I'm going to die. No, that can't happen. That's not going to happen. That was the attitude they had. They didn't believe him. Even after Matthew, as I said, records 4 different times that Jesus said, this is what's going to happen, guys. You know what happened? They came in what's called the triumphal entry. Everybody was waving their coats in the air and laying branches down and waving palm branches and shouting at Jesus, Hoshiana. That means, Lord, save us now. They said, blessed is the king of Israel. They hailed him as king. And I'm sure the 12 thought, man, we finally reached it. Here we go. He's going to go in there and kick them Pharisees out, and he's going to climb up on that throne, and they're going to declare him king, and the utopia is going to begin. And Jesus looks at him and says, now get ready, guys. I'm fixing to die. Now, he didn't leave it there, praise God. He said, in 3 days, I'll come back and I'll meet you at Galilee. But he says, get ready, guys, I'm going to die. No, there ain't no way. There ain't no way. Look how these people are treating you, Lord. You're popular. All of a sudden, Jesus was popular with everybody. Even the Pharisees were worried. They said, look, we're not gaining anything. The whole world's going after this guy. They've been trying to stop him. They've been bad-mouthing. They've been accusing him of being demon-possessed and deranged. And look, everybody's falling after him. What's the point? Now, we know now that none of those men ever denied him again. Peter denied him 3 times. And like I said, he was the outspoken spokesman. And at the dinner table, Jesus said, you're all going to be scattered. You're going to be offended. And Peter said, not me. I'll die with you. And Jesus said, really? He said, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter said, if all the rest of these guys deny you, you can count on me. I'll never deny you. Did Peter believe that when he said it? Of course he did. He meant every word. I wouldn't deny you. I'll die. And Jesus said, no, you won't. He said, when the time comes, you're going to deny me. You're going to save your own neck. In one place, he said, Peter, when you're converted, I want you to strengthen your brothers. Peter was still kind of on the fence. He believed Jesus was the Messiah, but he didn't believe he was going to die, even though the Lord told him he was going to die. So here sets his church. They've been warned of the danger, and they're unaware of it. What did the Lord say? Watch and pray with me that you might escape temptation. The word temptation can be good or bad. I was surprised to find that out when I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance of the Greek. Temptation can be a good thing, a trial, something that develops and builds you. It can also be evil. And Jesus said, you guys need to pray. You need to watch. You need to stay awake. You need to be praying because temptation's coming, guys. And this is going to determine the outcome. They should have been crying out the same way he was. If they'd have believed him, if they'd have known for sure what was coming, I think every one of them would have stayed awake and said, oh God, you know, look what's coming to us. Please give us the strength to get through this. Peter should have prayed, Lord, please don't let me deny your son. Please give me the strength to even go to death if I have to, but they didn't. What was the end result of their refusal to watch and pray? They forsook him. All these guys at the dinner table said, all for one and one for all. And when they clamped the handcuffs on him, they said, every man for himself, and they scattered. Now, Jesus told them that was going to happen. Now, nowadays, this is where I want to bring this across to the church today. We live in very dangerous times, church. Very dangerous times. And this wasn't the only time that Jesus talked to his church about being watchful and praying. He warned us that in the last days, there would be false Christ arise and false prophets. And he said they will deceive many people. Boy, we're living in that day. All you have to do is turn your TV or radio on and see. There are good teachers and preachers on these shows, and there's bad ones that teach a false gospel. What Jesus say would be the result of that, many will be led astray. So there's a viable prayer for you and I. Lord, please don't let me be led astray. I pray that a lot as a teacher. I say, God, don't let me be led astray, because I'll lead other people astray. Lord, don't let me believe a lie, because then I'll start teaching a lie. That's a viable prayer. Jesus said because lawlessness would abound in the last days, iniquity, wickedness will abound in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. And they will begin to hate one another and betray one another. He said children will turn against their parents, parents against children. A man's enemies could very well become those of his own house. There's another viable prayer for us Christians today. Lord, please don't let my love grow cold. Keep me on track. How do we do that? We stay focused. Jesus warned us that in the last days, he said, some of his servants will start eating and drinking with the hypocrites and the drunkards, and they'll start beating their fellow servants and mistreating them. And he said the mindset will be, my Lord delays his coming. And he said, I'll come in an hour when they're not ready. And I'll cut them to pieces. The Greek says by scourging. Jesus said, I will cut them to pieces and assign them their portion with the hypocrites. There's another viable prayer, church. Lord God, don't let me be that servant. Don't let me be that servant. Don't let me be the wicked servant. Oh, Lord, don't let me be deceived. Lord, don't let me become so hardened by sin that I become a hindrance instead of a help. We are living in dangerous times. Paul told Timothy, the Holy Spirit expressly warns in the last days, dangerous times are coming. Men will no longer endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers who will say what their itching ears desire. That's a viable prayer, church. Lord, don't let me be one of them, please. Holy Spirit, keep me on track. You teach me the truth. Lord, send godly men with the fire of the Holy Spirit in them and a passion for your word and for your truth that will not be afraid to stand against a contradictory world and say, this is what the Lord says. And let us be the people that receive it. Paul warned the church at Thessalonica that there is a man coming. He said it. There's a man coming, a man of lawlessness, who will do all great signs, wonders, false teaching, and he will lead many astray. He calls him the lawless one, the son of perdition. But he says before that happens, the great falling away will happen. He's talking about the church. He's not talking about the world. They can't fall away. They ain't fell forward yet. He's talking about those of us who have given our lives to Christ and say, we're going to follow you. And the same warning today is pertinent for us in the church. Jesus is saying, then keep alert. Pay attention. Be vigilant. Look around. And pray. That word pray, according to Daniel Webster, means to make supplication. To make earnest pleas, humble pleas. You got to be humble to ask for help, don't you? Yeah. I mean, that was one thing that happened to his men. Jesus said, look, guys, danger's coming. You don't realize how dangerous this situation is. And it's going to put your very faith to the test. And I'm praying for you, he said to Peter, I'm praying for you that y'all's faith doesn't fail. They didn't get it. What's wrong with the Lord? I don't know. Boy, he sure is upset. Well, I think I'll catch 40. How about you, Peter? Yeah, I'm a little wore out. We got a belly full of bread and some wine and nice and warm sitting here wrapped up on our coats. Let's just catch some wings. What was that Jesus wanted us to do? I don't remember. He said something about staying awake, praying, but what do we got to pray about? Did you see the way the crowd greeted him? Boys, we have arrived. Yeah, I think I'll catch about 40 winks. One of the greatest deceptions the enemy has is to make you and I believe that he's not our enemy. I'm telling you what, I watch the news some, not much, because I get too angry and I talk to the TV. And my wife looks at me funny, like, why are you talking to the TV? They can't hear you. But I think they can, you know. We live in dangerous times. When men call evil good and good evil, when men place light for darkness and call darkness light. And I know that not because I'm smarter than anybody else, but because I watch and I pray. I'm not boasting. That takes humility on my part. I can be deceived. You remember I said when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me? They all said, is it me? Paul said, examine yourselves. I can be deceived, so can you. I can be tricked, you can be tricked. How do I know I won't be tricked? By praying and saying, Father, please don't let me be deceived. But it's in humility. I have to acknowledge to God first, look, I'm not above anybody else. I could get tricked as easy as this guy could. Don't let me get tricked. A lot of trickery going on, Lord. There's a lot of false doctrine out there. How do I know what's your doctrine? The Lord said, I'll tell you. I told him in Bible college my third year, I said, I can't believe you want me to give up something holy as my opinion. I came in here with my opinion. I had everything figured out. I knew what I believed. And by golly, this is the way it was. And you ain't going to tell me no different. And I had these professors going, no, Rick. And you know what I found out? They were right. I didn't have everything figured out. Not like I thought I did. Are we in danger today, church? Some ways, yeah. Yeah, we're in danger. The world hates us. It hates God. And when we in the church dare to stand, that's another thing that watch means. It means rear up. Rise up. When the church of Jesus Christ rises up and says, no, this isn't what the Holy Father taught us. This isn't what our Lord teaches us. Here's what he said. We're in danger. Now, the enemy's not going to take us head on all the time. He'll come around the back with false doctrine. Relax, guys. Take 40. You sure been working hard, church. You need to take a day off. Go do something. Have some me time. What's Jesus say? No, that's when you better be alert. What did Peter say to the elders of his day? You better watch it, guys. Your enemy's going around like a lion looking for somebody to devour. And it's up to you to be vigilant and sober. Paul said to the Ephesian elders the same thing. He said, there's wolves coming, guys. There's danger coming out of the flock. And the Holy Spirit has made you overseers of this bunch. You need to take this seriously. Christian, we got to take our walk with Christ seriously. We have to take our conviction seriously. God doesn't change. I've heard that argument for 37 years. Well, now, brother, culture changes. People, what people thought was wrong 30 years ago, they don't think is wrong now. Does that make it any less wrong? Does God change his mind? Not that I've read. So if I'm not careful, I can get caught up in that mindset and go, well, you know, maybe it's not as bad. And the Lord says, no, it's terrible. You know, I sent my son to the cross to die for your sins, not your boo-boos, not your mistakes, not your ideologies. I sent him to die for the offenses against me, and these things still offend me. And you got to stay on the same ground that he's on and say, yes, Lord, you said this is an offense. It's an offense. I'll teach this to my children and my grandchildren when I'm asked. If someone in the world says, what do you think about this? Well, what I think isn't that important. But if you want to know what the Word says, let me tell you what the Word says. The end result of Jesus' men not doing what he warned them to do, watch and pray, was that when it came, the greatest trial, probably one of the greatest trials these men had ever known, they failed. And they failed miserably. Now I'm glad God's a merciful, forgiving God. Jesus could have said when he come back from the dead, I'm done with you guys. I warned you, you didn't listen to me. I'm done. I'm going to go out and find me another 12. Man, one of you went and betrayed me. The rest of you deserted me. You left me standing all by myself. He didn't do that. He said, I forgive you. And you know, historically, every one of those men except John died a martyr's death. None of them ever again denounced Jesus or fled their ground. they stood their ground. Peter was tortured for several months before he was executed, along with his wife. And they executed her first, according to the church historians. And it said, as they led her by Peter's prison cell, he yelled after her, "Stay strong in the Lord." They kept changing his tormentors because he was leading his torturers to Christ. Never again did Peter ever say, "I don't know him." He said, "Oh yeah, I know him. Let me tell you about him." You know, that's kind of hard to whip a guy like that. Yeah, well, we're going to thump on you. Well, go ahead while you're thumping on me. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ, what he's done in my life. Oh, church, this isn't a sky is falling message. I just think it's a very real warning from the Holy Spirit to God's people. Don't take anything for granted. You could be deceived. Jesus said with these false signs and wonders, if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. In fact, he said, God shortens those days or nobody would be saved. Thank God for that. Yeah. The Holy Spirit's message for the church today is the same way time it was 2,000 years ago in the garden. Be alert, church. Take notice of what's going on around you. Compare it to this book. And pray. Humble yourselves and pray. The older I get, the grumpier I get, but sometimes I think I get a little more humble. I'm being honest with you. I think at one point, I'd never fall to that. Now I can say, oh, God, help me. Paul said, if a brother or sister is overtaken in a sin, you or her are spiritual, restore them in a spirit of meekness. Consider yourselves, because you could be tempted too. That's that humble attitude we need. God, that could be me. Lord, I could be deceived. I know I could. I could deny you. I mean, honestly, yeah, I could deny you. I don't know what's going to happen if push comes to shove. Am I going to stand my ground or am I going to deny you? I'd like to think I'm going to stand my ground, but I could deny you. Am I going to be taken in by false teaching? I'd like to think I wouldn't, but I could. You don't assume anything. Jesus told his church, danger's coming. You guys need to be praying, not sleeping. And they went to sleep because they didn't think danger was coming. And today we live in a time that Peter said people scoff. Where's the promise of his coming? Ever since our fathers fell asleep, things continue on as they have. And church, if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in that same mindset. Brother Wayne mentioned in Sunday school this morning, since God doesn't punish things immediately, we think he ain't going to. They've been talking about this second coming for years. Jesus said to his men, watch and pray. You'll be counted worthy to escape and stand before me. A wise servant who's been able to distribute the food that I've given you. That you don't have to shrink back in shame at me when I come back. He said, just be ready. That's something else to pray about. Lord, I don't know when you're coming back. You just told me be ready for when you do come back. He said, be alert. I'm coming back when you're not looking for me. I told a lady that one time. We was talking to church, and she liked to read these different books, you know, and speculate when the Lord's coming back. I said, he says exactly when he's coming back. About, oh, he does not. Yes, he does. We had a little argument, you know, and I said, he does. I can show it to you. And boy, then you show me. And it's right there. Jesus said, a time when you think not, the Son of Man's coming. I said, that's exactly when he's coming back, when you don't think he's coming back. So there you go. I was right. Jesus tells us exactly when he's coming back. Be ready, he said. Be alert, he said. Pray. Be humble. It could be me. God, keep me from being deceived. Keep me from being hard. Keep me from being unloving. Keep me in your will. Keep me in your way. keep me in the truth. There's a lot of things we can pray about, Christians. And that's what he commands his church to do today. Be alert and pray. Don't take anything for granted. Be alert and pray.